2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
You often hear these days that phones and socials have shortened the attention span of people who use them, but have they really? Elaine Burke from For Tech's Sake Podcast is here to tell us how the entertainment industry is adapting. Elaine, you're very welcome back to the show.
Yeah, it's good to see you.
It's great to see you. I am incredibly interested in this because we'll get into the meat and veg of it in a second, but what is the evidence that our attention spans are decreasing?
There's not much. here's what's happened. A lot of people read the book by Owen Harary, Stolen Focus, a pop science kind of book. It's out there. Not even pop science, but, you know, pop nonfiction. And that makes claims about our shortening attention span based on an unpublished study that may have been misinterpreted. Other claims are all over the internet. About, like, there's a lot of claims about an 8 second attention span, and apparently that's a reduction from an earlier 12 second attention span. Okay. And if you're trying to trace the origins of that claim, you can't even find any scientific publishing or basis around that. So, but it's repeated a lot. And I think what's happened is people caught on to this when they saw what looked like a reputable claim that we had shortening 8 second attention spans, because there is definitely, in a lot of the studies here, a perception that we have a shortening attention span. That is the clear trend in the research, because the research is also difficult here because there isn't actually like a consensus on how you define attention. So how do you even study it and make sure that your studies are reflecting each other? But there's definitely, across all of the research that I've seen, this trend of people reporting that they feel that their attention is depleted and they feel like it's to do with technology and phones and things like that. So that's very real.
Okay.
And I think that's why we've glommed on to the repeating of it as a scientific fact. But it's definitely
it out there. With no actual paper. So what is the real reason for us feeling like we've got shorter attention spans?
Well, when you think about it, like, I think it's really funny that we are thinking like, oh, like our brains are changing and it's technology is changing our brains. And I think that's really like what's called like a techno-deterministic view of it. It's like we're just subject to the tech and it's going to change us and we have no agency there.
Okay.
But if you think about it, if you were in a room and you had lots of things calling your attention in that space, you wouldn't be blaming yourself for not being able to focus your attention there, would you?
No.
No, you would be blaming the environment. And we are in a very noisy environment all the time, especially in terms of our media diet. Like, a lot of people access media through their phones, and your phone is not just a static screen that's broadcast based. It's full of notifications and other apps and other things, and even the feeds that you get aren't consistent or coherent because you have one post says one thing and one post is about a totally different thing. So one could be about like the news and one could be about some gossip and one could be about something that's happened in your private life. And all of that, we're just being bombarded with these signals constantly. And then notifications.
Turn them off.
You know, I'm always talking about turning off notifications. Like, it will change your life. Like, and you also, you probably don't need a lot of things that we've been conditioned to think that we should have, like being always on, always available, always accessible. Not just for work, but for everyone. That's kind of been accepted as a social norm. Yeah. And when you take a broader view of it, you can think, well, why would we do that?
I know, why would we want
I'm talking about my attention span being depleted and I'm not like accounting for all of the things that I'm allowing into my life to call for my attention constantly.
It's something that I've done off the back of you being in here before, and conversations that we've had is turned off all my notifications because I realised that I had them for every single shopping app that I had on my phone. So it would give me a ping about new styles, new deals, new this, that and the other. I had it on for every social media and every email that I have, because I've got 3 different email accounts. So I don't need to be that. I don't need to be. I need to go in and check them and then leave again. And then if you need to get a hold of me, ring me.
And you know, I'm always saying about intentional use. Like, if you set it and you need to check that email account or you want to start shopping, you decide when you want to do that. Not some organization that has contrived to make that happen. Because the other place that's repeating the claim of short attention spans is also in the world of user experience design in technology. And the context in which they put it is, you know, you've only got 8 seconds to capture attention so that you can extract money from them.
Yeah.
You know, whether that is actually through payment or through selling advertising to those eyeballs that you're kind of corralling the attention of. So that's another place that this gets perpetuated, and it's not for our benefit.
So let's talk a little bit about micro dramas then, okay? Because what are they and why are they making money? I know you can see
because you're sending the money, Laura.
I am making micro dramas money. No, I love them.
Do you know what? I don't judge you at all. I can see why. And they are really popular. This is a multi-billion dollar industry and rivaling Hollywood for the millions that's bringing in. So I saw one report that said it took in like $6 billion 1 year, and the same year Hollywood took in $8 billion.
What?
So Hollywood is in decline.
What?
Yes.
For these
micro
dramas.
Yeah. So for anyone who's not heard of them, what they are is they are like nearly 60 second scenes mm-hmm. of a very soap opera style storyline.
I imagine like, you know, telenovelas. Like,
yes, totally.
It's very based off that, but worse acting. I do not want to bring too much shame on telenovelas. But so much worse acting and... different scenes all the time that you get in your phone.
Yeah, and the scene typically will always, the out point is always some kind of cliffhanger. So every like minute or 2 minutes or so, there is some kind of twist. So it's like your telenovelas, but there's constantly the moment where the dramatic music amps up and there's like a stare to the camera or something like that. And they are also filmed in portrait mode. So they are meant to be watched and viewed on a phone. And what they are is like people kind of think like, oh, is this a sign of our attention span shrinking? And I'm like, they run for over 60 minutes and they make their money off of people watching it in full, because you get a taster of maybe 5 to 6 episodes, which will be about 6 minutes of content, and then you have to pay to get the rest of the story, and you can get sucked in.
But they'll never give you the ending in any of those. So what will happen is you'll get sucked in with some little crap, you know, ad in the middle of scrolling on your TikTok feed, and then you'll be like, I need more. So you'll wait for another ad to come up, but it won't give you the follow-on scene. It might give you a prequel, or it'll give you the same scene over and over, to the point that I have paid to get the entire episode just so I know, okay, stop judging me like that.
We've all done this though. Like, it's not the quality of the content, it's the fact that it teases you.
It's a cliffhanger.
Exactly. And you are like, even I've done this. I've gotten caught up in bad films that I've you know, been flicking through on the television, and then I'm like, oh, now I'm into this now, and I can't go to bed until I find out what happens, even though it's dreadful. It's just that you want to find out what happens next. It's preying on that element. If you're definitely the kind of person who has to finish something and find out what happens.
So like the titles of these are, just to give a bit of context for anybody who's never heard of them, it's Breaking the Deal with a Hockey Bad Boy and My Firefighter Ex-Husband Burns in Regret. So like, they're not exactly
Not subtle.
they're straight to the point.
They're so literal sometimes as well. It's like, I had to strike a deal with the Mafia King. It's so like
my secret billionaire boyfriend.
Oh, that's like, really popular.
That's a
trope.
Really good one.
Really popular trope. And it reminds me of the headlines on like supermarket magazines.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of like that trashy tabloidy stories. But again, they're very popular trashy tabloidy stories.
So
and I don't want to be judging anyone who like, gets the best of them.
This is the thing, because it's kind of like popcorn for your brain as well. It's like a little bit of a switch off. But who are they for? Like, who are these micro dramas being marketed at?
This is the thing. I think they're essentially designed for the fact that people are consuming media through their phones, and they're designed for that mode of consumption. So as a media format, they've really taken that screen, which is seen by other broadcasters as a second screen. That's their first screen.
Yeah.
And that's what the evolution that's happening here is. They primarily initially came out of China, but like I said, it's rivaling now the Hollywood industry. So they are functioning now in the States. And as well as being for people who just want to consume content on their phone, that's their form of media consumption, it's actually creating work for people as well. There's people in the States reporting that if it wasn't for these micro dramas having come over to the States, they weren't getting the work, because, you know, Hollywood is suffering in many ways. Like, the $8 billion wasn't what it was making a good few years ago. And, you know, some people don't want the cinematic experience. They just want to watch things on their phone.
And
we all have different tastes.
And also, some people wouldn't actually be able to get a job in Hollywood, so they're on micro dramas instead. They're like, anybody could act in
these
things.
But it's not just the actors, though. And I have heard people say they've seen actors from shows that they watch turn up in this, and they have reached out to them and found out that it's just like, that's the work that's going.
Oh my God.
And it's easy work. They tear through this content. Like, a TV show might film a few pages a day, and a page is maybe about a minute of footage. But these are apparently tearing through maybe 20 pages of content a day in shooting. And that's good pay. And it's not just for the actors, but like, like, you know, all the workers in the background, the camera people, the lighting people, makeup people, they're all getting work, full day's work out of this stuff. Now, what I'll also say is, as I'm saying, they're good for work. They are non-union. So there's that problem there as well.
Yeah. So we need to keep an eye on that as well. Why do you think? Because obviously you said that this came out of China first and like a lot of great things come from that side of the world. But why are they so far ahead in the entertainment sphere?
I think what's happened is Asian communities and societies have actually, I think, understood quicker than we did that online wasn't this separate sphere and that it was to be taken seriously. I don't know, like, psychologically, culturally, if they do specifically see it like that, but they certainly have designed platforms to show that they've taken the online world very seriously from the off, and people are quite comfortable with digital engagements and having highly digitized lifestyles. And I think that's part of it, why they've been able to innovate so quickly in that space.
It's hard to talk about any of this stuff and not mention TikTok. I know that I've said that this is where I consume these micro dramas is from TikTok. But like, TikTok did blow up. And even with YouTube Shorts trying to take them down, they don't really seem to have any sign of stopping. Like, where is that headed in the battle for our attention?
Yeah, we'll see if that US ban ever takes shape. It's now been pushed out to September. But that aside, like, that's the other thing. TikTok contributes to this argument that our attention spans are shortening because short form video is popular. But short form video is popular because it's tightly edited and really concise and easy to consume. TikTok has constantly extended the amount, the length of a video that you can put on TikTok. So has YouTube Shorts, so has Instagram Reels. So again, that argument is really flawed once you look at how the technology is progressing. But like, TikTok is definitely dominant in short form video. And I think what happened was people saw an opportunity to take the TikTok model of consumption and turn it into a form of movie making, essentially. But TikTok is also basically an e-commerce brand.
Okay.
Like, it's not... It is making money in advertising, but where it makes its big money is TikTok Shop. TikTok and that just launched last December here in Ireland. Mm. And the way I see it is like, TikTok is more actually to be seen as like modern day QVC.
Yeah. So like, if you've got TikTok turning into a modern day QVC and then, you know, real short re-imaging soap operas, are we just repackaging the worst parts of telly and like handing them over to us?
I mean, you can say worse, but you don't want to be judgy. But it's also like,
Say worse from other people. This is right up my street.
It's always been popular.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Like, telly shopping has been a thing, and it was used as filler content for a long time. You know, it was like, if you were ever late night watching some channels, that's when that would turn up.
I know all too much about those blenders and
build a gap.
Yeah,
but they must have been making sales. Like, that's why it was on air, and that's why it was happening. And I love like the trope in Hacks where Jean Smart's character in Hacks has this whole QVC empire, and that's like part of why she is so valuable. Like, this works for people. This is a profitable business model. And the e-commerce side, like social shopping, again, that is something that is already common and accepted widely in China, and they're trying to like socialize us to see that as like an acceptable form of shopping here.
But they make it so easy. It is one click and then it's at your door. There's no, you're not being brought over to an external site, you're not trying to pick through things, everything just fills in automatically. It's too easy.
This is what I mean about it. It's built as an e-commerce platform. They don't have to send you anywhere else, and they will, you know, make money off of those transactions and everything. And YouTube is trying to innovate in that space as well. They've just very recently started experimenting with these stickers that are shoppable, so you can put a sticker in a YouTube short that someone can click like in video, instead of like the button being like in the caption or somewhere else that's less interactive and with the video. So this idea, I think you're going to see a lot more of. I think even maybe your product placement on Netflix, maybe that'll become shoppable. Wouldn't that be dreadful?
Desperate, but also at the same time, it wouldn't leave you with any questions. You know, you're always like, I wonder where they got that. It's like, thing, you can actually go and buy it. There have been reports about Netflix demanding that screenplays have characters explain the story every few minutes. Where did that story come from?
So this is from that kind of like fighting for attention in this second screen experience. So the idea is that Netflix is aware that people are kind of throwing on some of its shows as background content and that they might also be doing other things or using other screens such as their phone while watching something on Netflix. And it was reported by one journalist that he was hearing from creators in the industry that they had been told by Netflix to kind of write more exposition, more explaining dialogue into their scripts, so that if someone actually wasn't paying attention to what's happening on screen, that they would still be able to vaguely follow along. Now, another journalist who tried to find other people to back up that claim couldn't find people to back up that claim. But what I found was interesting is that journalist was speaking to people who wrote for Netflix, say, for Black Doves, which is one of its more prestige dramas. And I wouldn't put it past Netflix for commissioning more low-rate stuff where they are asking for that, because we've seen this through Spotify. Now, I'm currently reading Mood Machine by Liz Pelly, which really dives into this. And Spotify has commissioned low royalty music from, you know, not your top level creators, not your Taylor Swift of the world and stuff like that, so that it can feed that into its playlists of, like, you know, lo-fi beats to study to. That's a really common thing that people listen to in Spotify. But Spotify is raking it in because it's just commissioned, like, ghost musicians, and it will, it is going to move towards, I'm sure, AI generated music for this purpose as well, so that it makes more money. And I think, like, I wouldn't be surprised if Netflix, as a subcategory of its library, not its entire library, because they also, you know, want Oscars and Emmys and stuff like that, might actually go in that direction, kind of creating wallpaper for you to just have on in the background, so that no matter what, they're getting you and their figures and their metrics. Whether you're actually engaging or whether it's quality content or not, is it kind of irrelevant there?
It's mad. Like, it really is, to think that we're dumbing things down this much for people. Like, does everybody not have their background shows? Like, you know, your Gossip Girls and your Friends and all those ones you watch 100 times, you know exactly what's happened, but you can dip in and out of it. You can just have them on.
And that's the thing. Like, there's always been a space for that kind of television, I think. Like, that's kind of, I think that's where soap operas got a lot of their popularity. You know, the daytime omnibuses. Like, you just throw that on, you're doing your washing and ironing, whatever. Like,
and the next thing you're sitting on the side of the couch. And
because something dramatic stole your attention. But I think it's also like, you can't just say that. Like, lots of other really amazing things are happening in creativity. Like, now, it's not statistically proven, but in my general diet, films are getting longer. Yeah. Shows are getting longer. They are getting richer. They are getting more prestige, more investment, stuff like that. Now, I would like to see still more indie content out there, because some of this gets a bit flattened and samey. But I think there's still really interesting creative stuff happening. And I would say, even for the microdrama stuff, for content creators, like, I wouldn't watch the real shorts or the microdramas that we've been talking about here today, just because, like, I just find them too cringy.
Yeah.
But there's a account on TikTok that's called Sylvanian Drama, which just creates these shorts with Sylvanian families characters that are really dramatic, real soap opery, and I just find it so funny, and I barely follow it half the time, but it's really entertaining and really creative. And that's just some, you know, random person coming up with a very strange idea.
Irish person as well, which makes it even better again. And the fact that they've managed to do ad content off the back of that is just absolutely amazing. Elaine, I could talk to you all day about this type of stuff, but I think what we can actually take out of it is our attention spans aren't actually getting that bad. Like, you know, if all this long form drama is still coming into it and we're still paying attention to it.
Yes, we're watching a lot of stuff. And even, like, people watch over an hour of a podcast, which is just, you know, what we're doing here, just people in a studio chatting to each other. People will watch that and deeply engage with it. So I think when you see that and you acknowledge that, you remember that, okay, I actually have control of my attention and where I focus it. And if I turn off my notifications, I might be able to focus it better.
Elaine, thank you so much for coming into us again today. That is Elaine Burke from For Tech's Sake's podcast, telling us all about how the entertainment industry is adapting to the world of distraction. And yes, we can do it on radio here too. We're going to be right back after these.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
podcast,
sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.